expand on?
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Why?
It sucks. Losing. Awful.
One of my favorite clips of all time. One of the greatest moments, probably the greatest moment from last Titan season.
Stop with that amazing quote. I have a Trey Avery question for you.
Let's welcome in one of our favorite human beings on the earth, John Glennon, to the program on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com of the Nashville Post. John, good morning. How are you?
I am swell, fellas. Thanks for the nice welcome. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I just hope you know how much joy you've provided us for about the last 8 months. I blame Rex Rowe.
Who knew? Who knew? I'm glad it's worked for you.
I will give you $5 if you ask a Trey Avery question today.
Only five? Glennon, I think you could extort more money out of him than that.
I think you can work on that a little bit, Joe. Come on now.
How about some mead? A pint of mead?
Oh, here we go.
It's gout friendly.
Now you're moving in the right direction.
Now we're talking.
A meet and greet, if you will.
Ooh. There we go.
John Glennon's on his A game right before camp. I love to see it. So, John, we were having this discussion earlier. Obviously, it's been a very busy offseason for the Tennessee Titans and for Rand Carthon. How do you go about determining the job that Rand Carthon has done this offseason in terms of how we're going to end up viewing the moves that he's made? There's a lot that goes into it. Obviously, they've drafted Sweat and Latham. You brought in Calvin Ridley. They traded for L'Jarius Sneed. What do you make on the surface of the offseason that Rand Carthon had, and what do you think is the biggest key in terms of just determining how that's going to play out for the Titans?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, on paper, I think it was an outstanding season for Rand Carthon and the Titans. I mean, you know, he had the advantage of going into the offseason with a ton of money under the cap, and he used it, I think, very wisely. You know, he addressed the most pressing needs on this team, which were certainly, you know, wide receiver, defensive back, you know, were the top two, and certainly addressed left tackle with the draft as well. So, you know, I mean, it looks like a great offseason right now. You know, but obviously we're going to have to see results. I don't know if you're going to have to say, okay, there has to be a 5-win improvement or anything like that. I think it's probably more of an incremental situation this year. You know, I think if you can see at some of those really needy positions that from last year, at left tackle, at wide receiver, at defensive back, if you can see definite improvement there, if you can see Will Levis taking steps forward, making progress in his second year, even though he's under a new coach, new OC, new quarterbacks coach, and if you improve your win total, say, you know, let's say two or three wins this year, you know, I think you can say that's a pretty solid step for the Titans in 2024.
See, some Titans fans would say, I really cannot handle like 8 and 9, you know, and mediocre, which of course, would, like you said, John, I mean, that is an improvement from the last 2 years, but I feel like Levis is like, I feel like if this team goes 5 and 12, but let's say, you know, like the defense is bad. I mean, I think there's definitely a way that this defense could be bad, especially if some of these key acquisitions don't work out. But Levis is really good. Would that not be the most important thing, that they find out that he can play and they sort of have a direction charted after this year?
I think that's probably the most important individual position that you see improvement in, because, you know, I mean, it's interesting, Will Levis, that there are so many different viewpoints on Will Levis after the guy played, you know, 9 games. There's some people who think he's already a bust, that, you know, that the ceiling has already been reached, that there's not much more talent. And there's a whole another crop of people who say, you know, there's this great untapped potential. And certainly I think he should be better simply because, you know, better wide receiver core, you know, it appears to be a much better offensive line already. So he should be better. And yeah, I think that's the number one concern, but I don't think that can be the only way that you can judge the Titans as being better. I mean, when you spend the amount of money that the Titans did and you bring in some top name guys and Calvin Ridley, Legarius Sneed and you know, some of the lesser-named free agents as well. Well, certainly Lloyd Cushenberry as well. You know, I don't think you can brush those aside and say, okay, as long as Will Levis is better, then the Titans are better. You need to see some solid improvement in different areas as well.
John, if you had to identify one spot on the offensive side that concerns you the most, one spot on the defensive side that concerns you the most heading into camp, what would it be?
You know, I think on offense it probably has to be right tackle. You know, there's certainly a lot of questions that have to be answered there. You know, I think you have to say Nicholas Petit-Frere is the leading candidate for that. But, you know, what are you basing that on? You know, he was kind of so-so as a rookie starting there a couple of years ago. Last year was pretty much a wash between the injuries and suspension. So, I mean, there's clearly a lot of potential in Nicholas Petit-Frere. But, you know, they didn't get to see him the entire offseason because he's still rehabbing the injury. So there's questions there. You know, well, we don't know for sure who the right guard starter is going to be as well. But I think certainly in terms of protecting a passer, that right tackle spot on offense is the biggest question mark for me. You know, on defense, it's probably, you know, kind of maybe a combination of a few positions right up the gut. And I'll go from defensive line. You know, I mean, the Titans have lost a number of guys in there. You know, Tier Tart, Kyle Pico. We know Denico Autry played at times inside last year. So our guys like Tavondre Sweat and Sebastian Joseph Day, are they enough to fill that hole? Then you go right behind them. And certainly there's some uncertainty and questions at that inside linebacker spot as well. You have to pencil in Kenneth Murray as a starter because they paid big money for him. But is he going to be the answer? You know, he wasn't necessarily the answer with the Chargers. And then you've got two rotational guys maybe next to him in Gibbons and Gray, who eventually stands out there. And then I think, you know, you go one step beyond right in the middle again in the center of the field. Do the Titans have enough at safety with Hooker, with Molden, and even with Jamal Adams now? Do they still have that that kind of playmaker, that rangy kind of guy back there that you'd ideally like to have to create a few more turnovers? So to me, right up the gut, the Titans have answers, or questions rather, on all three levels.
John, your observations of this coaching staff, because obviously Brian Callahan is very different. You know, we opened with some sweet Vrabel sounds of Mike Vrabel. A little different with Brian Callahan, a little different feel when he's talking to us. But in terms of watching them on the field, I know we're about to watch a whole lot more of it out there here in the next few weeks. What would you say stand out to you as the differences?
You know, probably tough to say after watching some off season, but I would say, you know, maybe the number one that stood out during the off season was I just didn't see the sort of the station to station approach, I guess you would call it, that maybe Mike Vrabel had. You know, Mike Vrabel, you know, knew a lot about a lot and, you know, wanted to move to the different positions to get a look at players, you know, to kind of add his expertise at all different spots. I don't think, you know, we're going to see that much from Brian Callahan, and I don't think we saw it as much in the offseason. I think, you know, he's more clearly an offensive-minded guy. He's going to spend most of his time on that side of the ball and certainly plenty with Will Levis. And I think he's going to turn more of that defense over to Denard Wilson. I think that's the way he wants it. That's the way he prefers to coach, and I think that's a little bit different than Mike Vrabel's was, you know, and you know, just the and we heard players talk about this too. I think maybe there's just a little bit of a more, I hesitate to say relaxed, but that's the word that comes to mind. More of a relaxed vibe with Brian Callahan there as opposed to Mike Vrabel, and again, we've heard two or three players discuss that. They feel a little bit more free, a little more able to express themselves a little bit better. Does that mean it's a better Titans team? We don't know that yet. Does that mean Brian Callahan's a better coach than Mike Vrabel? We certainly don't know that because Mike Vrabel certainly put up some good numbers for a lot of years here. But it's definitely a different vibe, I'll say that.
Well, John, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've made it to training camp. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road.
Bye, Mr. John. See, now this is going to become an epidemic.
You got any mead for him?
I might. We always talk about going to get some mead. Or there's a meadery in town in East Nashville. You know, we didn't bring up in the rant Miss Amy. I mean, now, how does Miss Amy not come up in the rant?
That's a big oversight by us. Big oversight.
Is there any other owner in the National Football League who's referred to that? I'd love it. The Cowboys called him Mr. Jerry.
Mr. Jerry.
It's Mr. Jerry. Hi, Mr. Jerry. Is there any other owner that gets called formal title first name?
Does anybody call Kraft Mr. Bob? I don't think so.
We could go through the whole league like this and have a heck of a fun time.
615.
A 9-minute run.
737-1025, our phone number.
Speaking of the devil.
I could potentially have some really good news for Titans fans, and we'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is back, presented by Green River Whiskey. Join our own Joe Dubin at MJ Sports Bar and Grill at 1253 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro this Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Thanks to John Glennon for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I have some potentially great news for Titans fans. Are we ready for it?
Yeah, okay. Ready for it.
The official Jarrett Stillman expectation was laid out yesterday. Now, again, this is not a prediction, so it's probably not as great of news as I could have for you, because if it was an official prediction, then I would really feel good about it. But this is the expectation that Jarrett Stillman has laid out for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. 5-12. 5-12, the expectation for the Tennessee Titans. And as we know, there have been plenty of Jarrett Stillman examples to look at that have gone the opposite way. The George Costanza, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not that far away removed. We're coming up on a year anniversary of the, oh my God, Kenny Pickett, MVP, Pittsburgh Steeler Super Bowl trip take that he had a year ago. So if you're a Titans fan.
Amazing.
And you hear that Stilly's expectation for the Titans is 5-12, should you be rejoicing in the streets today? Should this mean that great things are coming for the Tennessee Titans this year? Your thoughts?
Well, okay, so first of all, so he has an expectation.
He breaks it down into categories. So there's the will win.
Yeah, and I was here when he broke that down yesterday. So, but how is that not a prediction?
I'm just telling you, he says it's the expectation.
So like after camp, he'll actually give a prediction.
I guess so.
By then, he'll actually flip it to 12. The bad news is he's going to flip. He'll be like, oh, my God, Treylon Burks. Ah! He's so strong. He's huge.
Can't tackle the guy.
He'll go 12-5. But, yeah, we were arguing about this yesterday, and it's like, you know, of course, it's just like, oh, how could you possibly think that? You know, how could you possibly think they could win another game than that? I'm like, well, you go through the schedule. I don't remember how he broke it down, but he broke it down with like, will lose, will win,
should lose, should win,
and
toss up,
and like toss up.
Yeah.
Again, my prediction after I went through their schedule, and that was a prediction. I think it's okay to say prediction. I can change it, right?
Sure.
But was 8-9. And it's, and of course, yesterday I'm sitting here because I was just trying to get my power cord. I just wanted to get my power cord and leave, and he wouldn't let me leave. And of course, he's just like, ah, how could you? Ah, how could you possibly? You know, it's like, I mean, it is possible. I mean, we don't know at all what this defense will be. I feel pretty good about the offense being better, and I don't know how much better, but should be better.
Yes.
Maybe a lot better. And if that's the case, then I guess the defense. The defensive range doesn't matter as much, but the defense is just so hard to predict at all. Like the Bears game, sure. toss-up game. Is that not a toss-up game? His point was, oh, they'll be like a six-point underdog. Okay, great. I mean, I don't know what Vegas is going to have, but they're playing a rookie quarterback in a team that's been bad, and I think that's a toss-up game.
I would agree.
Call me crazy.
I would agree. I mean,
is the Jets a no way? No? That's not a no way win. Is the Packers at home? No way? I wouldn't say that.
No way. No.
Dolphins? Colts?
You're going 13-4.
Well, I mean, I'm going through this and like games that I just forget about it. I'm going to pretty much say that about Buffalo. I guess I'll say that about the Lions. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be funny? I mean, they're going to beat the Patriots. I'm just going through these. You know, Chargers, you know, they probably should lose, but I don't know what the Chargers are going to be. They'll beat the Vikings at home. They can't beat the Jags at home. They got the Commanders on the road. Is it impossible to beat the Bengals at home?
No.
The Colts either place? You know.
It's the NFL, man. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing. It's like all these expectations we have are based on what we think of these other teams that we don't look at nearly as closely as we do the Titans, and there's going to be some big misconceptions that happens every year in the NFL.
Now, I will say Jared's expectation for the Titans kind of lines up with what the national outside expectation for the Titans is, which is they're not going to be very good.
That's true.
At 5-12.
Is that all he's doing? He's embracing PFF, and he's just going to go with –
Look,
ESPN's prediction.
I think on the surface, without knowing the injuries and all that other stuff's going to take place, I think there's a lot of toss-up games. Like, there's a lot. Like, Chicago, I would count as one. You know, the Jets. I mean, the Jets that early on, maybe it's too early for the Jets to be totally dysfunctional by week two. I don't know. But, I mean, Indy both times I think is a toss-up. Jacksonville both times is a toss-up. Certainly the Chargers is a toss-up. You know. I mean, they'll go up and down the list here. Minnesota, I think toss-up is probably friendly. The Titans should win that game, right? Washington, Titans should win that game.
Yeah, there definitely are not a lot of, oh, that's a lock, but of course not. I mean,
well, even Buffalo, everybody says Buffalo. Like, again, I guess I'm going to keep harping on this until the season starts, but like, I would not say that it's just an absolute certainty that they're losing to Buffalo on the road. I have no idea how good Buffalo is going to be this year.
Yeah.
I know they've got Josh Allen, and I know it's on the road. So those are two things that work heavily against the Titans. I get it. I would not pick the Titans to beat Buffalo. I'm just saying I don't count Buffalo as like a lock. I would say on the road at Houston is much more of a lock to lose for the Titans than at Buffalo, based on the roster of the two teams at this point.
Much? I don't know if I'd put the word much, but I put more. Yeah, I think that's fair. Those are probably the three most grim games of Lions, Bills, Texans on the road. But yeah, you're a Bills hater. You're on the record, and hey, we'll see how that works out for you. Someone says the Athletic has the Titans ranked 24 and an expected record of 6-11, mainly because they jettison Henry. I did not read that piece. That might be Austin Mock, who does all the models. I'll have to check that out. But 24 is actually a little bit optimistic compared to some people.
Yeah. Tyler says, we also get to see again why his Sam Darnold take is dumb in real time, all season. Also, you're not even allowed to like Henry anymore. Apparently still liking him and being happy for him if he does well is the same as wearing a Ravens outfit to work every day. This is from Tyler on the text line.
As is well known on this program, I have Jared muted on Twitter. However, for whatever reason, when 102.5 and 106.3 The Game account, like, quote tweeted him, his tweet showed up, and I just want to – now it's going back. I'm trying to find it. He said that it is in all caps, quote, it is all caps, sacrilegious to root for the Ravens if you're a Titans fan. That's sacrilegious. There's no I in it. Dude, you can't all caps a word and then misspell it. You can misspell a word. Everybody does it.
Sure.
But you can't put it in all caps and misspell it.
Yeah.
But, yes, I didn't hear it, but he jumped on the take of the – Ravens-Titans thing, which, again, I just think it's okay if you're okay rooting for Derrick Henry. I'm just trying to provide a safe space for you.
Yeah. Michael in Madison says, fun fact, the Tennessee Titans, not including the Oilers, have never lost to the Detroit Lions. Is that true? I mean, they don't play each other all
that much.
I don't
know. Yeah, they probably only play like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. But, yeah, I could see that. I do remember that Thanksgiving
game
down. When they won by like 58-3 or something. Vintage Lions football.
Yeah. Caleb says, I think 5-8 wins is the expectation. Anything short or over that is extreme. This is from Caleb on the text line. Do we think 9 wins is extreme for this team?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's extreme. I mean, I think that's definitely drifting into optimistic. I think I don't even rule out 10. I'm not going to rule out 10.
But don't most people agree that the Titans are significantly better than they were a year ago based on the additions that they've made?
I would think so. I would hope so. If you really looked at what they've done, I mean, certainly there's a lot of questions. Most of them could not work out and they wouldn't be. But yes, quote unquote on paper, they've made a lot of improvements.
Well, they were 6-11 last year. It's not like they were 2-15.
Right.
So to get to 8 or 9 wins is really not that much of an improvement for the Titans. That's what kind of mystifies me about this whole thing.
Right.
People are acting like they're trying to go from 2 wins to 12. They're going from, in this scenario, 6 wins
six to 9. Yeah, 6-9, 6-8, whatever. Yeah. I mean, one of the problems this year is definitely the transition in the NFC. They go from the crappy AFC South to the suddenly pretty good NFC South to the NFC North. That is one issue.
For sure. I'm just saying, people are acting like 9 wins is out of the realm of possibility for this group. I'm guys, they won 6 a year ago and they were awful.
9 wins is really not out of the realm of possibility of anyone. You could talk yourself into the Patriots or Raiders doing it.
The Texans just did it a year ago
when we all picked them to win 4.
Exactly.
Yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Def Leppard Day here on the program. A classic here. I feel like Rex Road's probably not a big fan of this song.
Yeah, though. I was actually going to ask if we could not play this one.
Jeez. Do you like any of the actual hit songs for anybody?
Animal's a hip song from Photograph, Animal, Rock of Ages, all hits. I love all of them. This one, I don't know, man. Hysteria, I love that song. So, yes. But also, how about Armageddon It? How about we mix it up with a little Die Hard the Hunter, you know? I mean, I could have requested some of these songs.
It's your day. You could have put a list down.
This is my day? Well, this is your day.
This is, you said Def Leppard.
I think this should count as your day.
Cap. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
What's up, Kyle?
I don't get all the 4-win, 5-win predictions for the Titans. We won 6 with a god-awful line. We had 1 receiver. We had a rookie quarterback out there. I know our defense has some holes. We're not done. We're still going to fix some of those, I hope. But I can't understand that. And I got another thing, too. Why can't people pull for Derrick Henry? You can separate Derrick and the Ravens. I will never pull for the Ravens. I can't stand them, just like the Colts. But I can pull for Derrick. Like I was telling you the other day, that if it's a Hall of Fame player, you can pull for them for another team because they did great stuff for you. They won games for you. A.J. Brown, you can still pull for him. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Come on now.
Thanks for the call, Kyle.
I don't understand where it comes
from. I'm with you, Kyle.
Can you leave me on hold so I can hear?
Sure. And then Keezer immediately hung up on
him. Did you just hang up on him?
Keezer.
My goodness.
Did you hang up on him?
Did you hang up on him, Mr. Nick?
Yes, he could still hear us earlier because it had his radio on.
Well, he just asked you to leave him on hold. Keezer just sniping people.
Especially when he agreed with my take that you can, if you'd like to, root for Derrick Henry. It's totally reasonable, and you're not a bad fan who must turn in your fan card per Kuharsky. Good call, Kyle. As far as the whole what he said, what you just said, you're right. 6 wins, and they did all these improvements. I do agree, though, that you go through the schedule.
Sure.
And you can be wrong on that, too. Right, we all will. There will be some terrible, misconceptions on team. There will be some teams that are way better, way worse than we think they are right now. So it'll make it all moot. But that's what we do this time of year. But go through the schedule. I go through the schedule, and I think I feel pretty good about 6 or 7. I feel pretty good about 6 or 7, and then it's like, okay,
can you get a couple?
Because if you can get to 9, then you're hanging around for that 7th spot.
We got a lot of controversy on the text line, both on our actual text line and my personal text line. Keith, Tyler, and our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, all wondering, is Kyle actually just Adam in Portland? Saying that there is, you know, Keith says, did Adam in Portland change his name to Kyle? Tyler says, how is this dude not Adam from Portland? They sound identical. It was from Tyler. Is Kyle actually Adam from Portland?
I don't think he sounded like Adam from Portland. Do you?
I mean, I'd never thought about it until everybody started texting about it. But, I mean, that's like four text messages we got all at one time about Kyle. That's not Kyle. That's Adam in Portland.
Huh.
Conspiracy yeah, on the text line.
I don't buy it. No, I can do Adam Portland. Hey, guys, how you doing? No, I got it. Yeah, so anyway, man, so, you know, that's like my Adam in Portland.
It sucks.
Yeah, so listen, man, so here's the deal. Here's the deal, man, okay? That's okay. My Adam in Portland. That wasn't, no, I don't think Kyle and Adam sound that much alike. That's weird. Yeah. But the fact
Adam
that it
might
all,
need to hear from you.
That it came all at once, maybe there must have been a sentence in there that sounded like it, but yeah, I don't think so. I think we got two separate bits. Now,
okay.
Now, Heidi from Dixon still... Still waiting on a return call. I thought you were going to say the controversy.
Wait a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. A parole. Can you call with an ankle bracelet on? Can you call us? I think so. I thought you were going to say Michael and Madison, who says, starting to think Joe just doesn't like any good music and actively hates it instead, in parentheses, Creed. Yeah, Creed sucks. I like plenty of good music. I like plenty of good music. We're just jamming some Def Leppard and have a good time today.
We had somebody text in earlier. It's like, why do you attack Scott Stapp so much?
What's
like,
the deal with all these attacks on Scott Stapp?
Rocks Road.
God, he knows how to get to the studio. He's going to show up one day and just I'm going to have to get a restraining order.
Yeah. Nate says, Kyle ain't Adam for Portland. Adam's got more of a twang. There we go.
Don't think they sound that much alike.
Okay.
All personally. Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe we're again heading into territory we talked about last year. Last year, the conversation around the Titans was nationally, everybody thinks they're going to suck. Locally, everybody thought they might be pretty good, and they weren't very good. Now, that doesn't mean that that's how it's going to play out every year. But, I mean, it's a similar I wouldn't say that everybody locally thinks they're going to be good, but I do think it is a little bit mystifying. When I see the Titans connected to three wins – 4 wins, 5 wins, it does make me scratch my head a little bit. You know, we called out Jared for 5-12 being the expectation. Ian, the voice of reason on the program, says 4-13, his expectation.
Well, I mean, I can make the case. I mean, last year I was more mystified, I think, and I was wrong. So maybe that's why I'm just making myself be less mystified this time. This team is a lot harder to, in my opinion, to judge and predict than last year's team. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator.
It's a lot of unknown.
And some additions who could be really good, but I think John Glenn said earlier, the offensive line a lot better. Is it? That's the idea. I don't know that it is.
I don't know that it is either. I'd have a hard time imagining it being much worse. But I don't know that it's a lot better. But if it is, I mean, that's a major step. I think part of where we talked about this a lot, but I think the genesis of where some of the conversation around the Titans kind of mystifies me a little bit is I saw enough from Levis last year that makes me think he's not completely terrible, which I think a lot of people around the league just think he's awful. And I think that's where some of the disconnect could be. I'm not I didn't see enough from Will Levis last year to make me convinced that he's some franchise quarterback. And maybe 5 weeks into the season this year, it becomes pretty obvious that he's just not very good. I don't know. But I saw enough moments from him last year to where I look at the roster that they've put together, particularly with their starters, and I say, he'd have to be pretty darn bad for them to win 4 games. Like, he'd have to be really bad for them to win 4 games this year. That's where the disconnect comes in for me.
Yeah. And if the offensive line is just better, just decent, then I think Levis is going to be pretty good and maybe better, but I think he's going to be pretty good. And look, I think we've talked about all the intangibles with him and everything and all the personality stuff was, I think, so wrong with a lot of people. I mean, I think he's gone above and beyond this offseason. I mean, the Cabo trip, that's cool, and that was his idea. And also, a lot of his money, too, by the way, in that. And then they've been doing this extra work here, too. I mean, that's above and beyond just like a quarterback who's studying the offense and everything like that. I mean, he's really going to all lengths to try to be great and to try to drag this team along. You got to like that. Maybe he won't, he won't live up to it in performance, but I think you should be, as a Titans fan, excited about like all the things that he's doing to try to get there.
Kyle from Shelbyville is way back in. Everyone thinks that I'm Adam in Portland, even my own family. It's from Kyle.
No kidding. I don't know. I have to listen to that again. I didn't think that.
Somebody says, this is not an expectation. It's a lock. Jared Steelmom is off his meds again. Steelmom. Haven't heard that one.
Jared Steelmom.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
615-737-1025.
Mr. Steelmom.
Our phone number. We'll get more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Got some tickets to give away as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win. Tickets to Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. You a Hootie fan?
No. I know. They're fine. Like, I don't have an issue with Hootie and the Blowfish. I just never really got too much into their music. Is that okay? I'm not ripping them. I respect them.
Way better than the Beatles.
Oh, good God. Okay. You just want to continue to espouse your horrific take.
Just triple down on it.
God. Embarrassing. All right. So I do think Ron keeps asking this question. Sorry, Ron, on the text line. I'll get to it.
You're trying to get to it.
Yeah, I'm getting to it, Ron. Actually, it's a good one. I think this is one of the interesting questions that the preseason should help us with. He says, are you guys really comfortable with the Titans' backup QB? I just feel like he'll get some playing time with the way Levis plays. You think he can lead us to a couple wins if he needs to? I'll tell you, I said it back in the spring. I wasn't especially impressed. You know, but again, we're talking spring, throwing the ball around,
yep,
and a little bit of 7-on-7, a little bit of team stuff. You know, I think it's an important preseason for him. And as I said earlier in the show, that is a question too. Is like, of course you're going to frame it the way Brian Callahan framed it. That's what you would expect. You want competition anyway. You want everybody to think they're in a competition, so you're framing it as a Mason Rudolph, Malik Willis competition. They signed Mason Rudolph to be QB2. I mean, this is a guy who has started in the NFL. There's a difference for sure between those two.
Yes,
I am interested to see how they do the reps with them as they get into some of the team stuff. You know, does Rudolph get a significant amount more? Are they actually trying to split it at the beginning between those two when they get in there and try to see and make it a competition? I will say he needs to play better. He needs to play better than what I saw in the spring. But when they signed him, I've seen him play some pretty decent football in this league,
yep,
on Sundays before.
Yeah, especially when he wasn't getting his head bashed in by Myles Garrett.
There is that.
No, he has come in and has won football games. Do I feel great about Mason Rudolph starting for any significant length of time if Will Levis went down? No. I mean, I don't want Mason Rudolph playing 7 games for me this year. Could you live with it if he had to come in for a game or two or finish a game?
I mean, that's always the question.
Yeah, I think you could.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
I think you would be okay if that's the case.
Yeah, like if the defense isn't cheeks, then
right.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. Texter, I'm starting to think Joe doesn't actually listen to music, LOL. I love music. I'm obsessed with music. That's all I talk about. I would do this show entirely about music if I could, and I could talk about the bands I love all day long.
You can.
I love so many bands.
You're a music aficionado.
I am. I've seen a million bands in this town alone.
What about August 13th? Going to Crete? We still have to determine.
If you can find a new level of hallucinogen.
Well, I'd probably find one.
Yeah, you are an Aaron Rodgers fan.
I feel like it would be criminal if concert day comes around for Creed and we're not doing a show or actively involved as a show.
What day of the week is that?
Somehow. I believe
it's a
Tuesday.
I actually might be going out of town that day. That'd be a real
shame.
Not
what I wanted
to hear.
Where
are they playing?
I think it's Ascend, right?
Is it? See, I love Ascend.
I think so.
God dang.
I mean, it's setting up pretty nicely for us to be able to do a show there. We got to get this figured out.
All right, we'll work on it. I mean, believe me, though, there will be embarrassing, like, paint my stomach behavior if it happens, okay?
Mr. Stapp! Hey, Mr. Scott!
Mr. Stapp, will you come on the show?
Play higher for me. It's really good, Mr. Scott.
Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, Anthony Robertson speaking today. What do we want to hear today? What are some questions that we have for the Titans as training camp officially opens today?
The backup QB reps would be one. The plan with L'Jarius Sneed would be one. Tavondre Sweat, Nicholas Petitfrere, are they ready to go? Tavondre Sweat, how's his conditioning? What role do you see for Jamal Adams? Do you need to sign another safety? Do you need to sign another edge? For Callahan, what is a little bit more on the starters of the preseason? What's your philosophy? How do you view games 1, 2, and 3?
Yep.
You brought up the Hopkins extension. I like that one. Any thought about possibly locking him up for another year?
Do we think the Carthon will go into any sort of depth to that question they've asked about?
No, I think he'll do. I mean, J-Rob did the same thing. Like, I don't negotiate in public. I think Carthon has said the same thing. I mean, if I was a GM, I'd also do that too. So
yeah,
he probably wouldn't answer it.
Probably not, but it's worth asking. Probably not.
So here, guys, I'm going to tell you. Now, here's exactly the negotiations with
would Trey Avery possibly get an extension? Hold on, Brent. Can I interrupt,
Brent, please? Stop talking.
Can I interject, please?
I don't know that Glennon was a big fan of us doing that earlier in the show.
He did not
seem to be overly excited about it.
He did not laugh as much as I was hoping.
Fuck Tua! He really appreciates you guys bringing that up.
Thank you, John. It's going to be merciless this year, John. I just want you to know, buddy.
I mean, I hope like heck Trey Avery makes a team. I mean, I hope he has a great camp. The more Trey Avery talk we can have, the better off we'll all be.
I mean, he has to, for the sake of all of us, he has to at some point ask a Trey Avery.
Do we have that clip again? Do we have the clip? Nick, find the clip. Let's play it again.
Nick says no. We got time. We got time, Nick.
Don't worry. We got plenty of time. He'll find it.
Yeah, John didn't. He didn't take too kindly to that. But, hey, man, when you create a legendary moment like that. Okay, Jason and Dover, what are your top five bands? All right. That's really hard. But Beatles,
oh, God.
Zeppelin, Radiohead, U2, and Pearl Jam.
No Blink-182? Just missed out on the top five?
Yeah, they're somewhere in the... Ooh.
Hinder.
Dead Milkmen, Eric. That's right, baby. I've talked Dead Milkmen before. Actually, you know what? Let me throw in Pixies. Let me throw in Pixies instead of, but what about the Red Hots? See? I love music.
Anthony says, if Joe does a full hour about music, I'll be Mr. Listening to something else. This is from Anthony on the text line.
Mr. Anthony, why are you so mean? Joel
says. Are you going to refer to... Brian Callahan and first off, are you going to go Cali?
Mr.
today?
Cali?
You could go Mr. Cali?
Mr. Cali.
Mr. Cali, excuse me, I have a question
Mr.
for you.
Mr. Rand?
Let's just set up this. It's not going to be the final time we do it because it will live on forever in our show, but let's just set up again the nice John Glennon, Trey Avery moment in Mike Vrabel's tirade last year.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey Avery, need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
John, well, shut up.
It sucks. Losing. Awful.
Oh, God. Trey.
Pardon me, Mike.
Trey, Avery, need to show you anything.
Did you?
fantastic. God. That's just so good. Yes, Logan.
We're going to get anything this year to match that, man. I miss Vrabel.
I know. We're gonna miss some of that stuff. Logan, you know what? Foo Fighters, Logan. Kyle, Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, I love them both. I love them both. It's so tough. So apparently Stilly went crazy about Brinker not talking today.
I guess.
So here's the thing. Regardless of the hierarchy and all that stuff, isn't Brinker kind of like Steve Underwood in a way? I know it's different. It's a different setup.
Kind
of,
yeah.
No one ever wanted him to talk at a presser.
No.
So I disagree with that, and I did not hear exactly what Jared said. But the things he's in charge of, I mean, Rand is the GM. He is the acquirer of players. Anthony Robinson is his number two.
Yeah.
You could make the case for like just Mr. Cali and Mr. Rand today.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Brinker has to talk every time there's something.
Mr.
I mean, it'd be nice to hear from Mr. Chad. sometimes, but yeah.
This really has, Turan has taken on a life of its own on the text line. It's been beautiful. Gentry from Nashville, who's not Gentry.
The other Gentry.
Says, I hate that clip. Gives me anxiety. Gentry on the text. Gentry!
Mike, could you stop opening a vein publicly and answer a totally meaningless question, please?
Glennon's going to be all over you today.
He's not listening. The great thing about Glennon is he does not listen to sports talk radio, so you can actually rip him at your leisure. It's fantastic.
Played that clip back, and really appreciate you guys putting that back out there, man. Really glad that's bringing you a lot of joy.
God, Kaharski's going to be insufferable.
Oh, man.
We just need to stay focused. Actually, another question for those guys today is why Mr. Arden hates Mr. Paul.
Do you guys have any insight as to why Arden Key hates Paul Kaharski?
Kaharski.
Yes. Have you guys spoken with Arden Key about why he hates Paul Kaharski?
I really, really need all players be available this week. If this screws us over, this whole thing, and like convinces, you know, like Callahan to like lock down access, we have to blame Kaharski.
Yeah.
It's his fault. Mr. Paul, it's your fault. But really, really need to hear from Arden this week.
Rand, do you know why Arden Key and Jeffrey Simmons hate Paul Kaharski? Have you determined that this offseason?
Stilly? Is Stilly going today? If he's going today,
let's figure it out.
That's one for him to ask.
That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back full reaction to the beginning of Titans training camp tomorrow on the show. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.